No, they do not. Stopping recording on that recording.
I did. I mean, I stopped as well.
But I'm leaving the level 13 recording going. For the people that like to hear the level 13. Oh, no, actually, Cyclone, we skipped over a whole bunch because we had gone long on everything else. So I was intentional. You sent plenty. I was just skipping over things. What are you doing, Adam? What happened?
I'm putting the SD card from the mixer into the SD card reader.
Got it.
And they're so small.
Oh, I know. They are.
Those regular, little, yeah. And the reader that I've got is a USB-C, like you attach it. It's a separate dongle.
Yeah, I have
and that. It has a big SD card slot right below. So if you miss and you put it in the wrong one, it goes into the larger hole.
See, I have that same dongle. And in my case, two of our three cameras use the bigger SD cards. So for when we do video. If we do any park video, like this last video that we put out was at the park, and that uses the old Canon, and that uses the bigger SD card. So then you have to put it in upside down. So if you keep the dongle facing the way that you normally put the SD card in normal, you have to put the bigger one in upside down. It's really weird.
Yeah. And it's, and also the micro SD, it has to click into place.
Yeah.
And you can't just do it with your fingertip because it won't catch. You have to I have to do it with my fingernail and you have to get it right. Anyway, it's very, very poor user experience.
It's very bad. Yeah, the product owner in that should be ashamed.
I don't know who they collected their use cases from.
But it wasn't me.
I just thought I would make sure I get it done and put in the folder because I'll be gone all day tomorrow.
Yeah, driving. You're going to be driving up to get your hair done.
Yeah, been 2 months.
I have been doing things past 2 weekends, we haven't been here. I just went out and mowed the yard the other day, which was horrible. It needed, I ran out of battery power because I was having to mow everything twice. Like, I'd do a row and then have to do that row again. Like, I probably need to sharpen my blade, but on top of that, the grass was just so high that it took two passes to do it. And where was I going with this? Oh, I know. We just haven't been home for several weeks. I'm hoping this weekend, my one thing that I want to do this weekend is I want to wash and wax my truck because I've been hauling that truck around through the mud everywhere. And, she's dirty. I need to clean her up. And,
I don't remember. Did you say that you had named your truck?
I kept the same name.
It sounds like you named your camper.
Yeah, Lilo is the name of the camper, and that goes because we live in the Stitch House. See, our house is the Stitch House, and so the camper is Lilo. That makes sense. But I just in the Ford app, I named my Lariat Larry, so it's Larry the Lariat. But
so Larry and Lilo?
Yeah. But I just couldn't. I never came up with another good name for the truck.
I don't name vehicles, so I mean I don't really name things. So
Larson the Lariat.
Lucy the Lariat.
Lucy, I think you got some explaining to do.
But you did Larry. So do you want it to be a male, or is it non-binary? Is it male?
Okay, could
is
be. It, could be. Could be and it could be not. You know, there's this problem right now with Google Auto. What is it? Android Auto. Android Auto has a problem right now where it will randomly cut out the audio. Like if you're listening to Spotify or a podcast or whatever through Android Auto, which is the main interface of my truck, it'll just randomly drop audio. And you to fix it, you literally have to reboot the phone and turn the truck off and restart the truck to get the radio. Wow. It's like, that's how bad Android Auto fucks it up.
You can't really do in that driving down the road.
No, and worse than that, you can't do it when you're towing a trailer. So on our way back from Disney this past Sunday, we were listening to your show. We were listening to like your Friday Geeky Gay on the way back, and just midway through, we lost the audio. And I just never pulled over. I never pulled over to restart the truck or whatever. So we had to just basically
drive in silence.
Well, I mean, we talked to each other. Like, we don't sit there in complete silence. We have things that we discuss. Nope, we're just both going to sit there, just stare straight forward and not say a goddamn thing. Nope. Shh, shh. No, don't talk to me. Shh, shh. Don't say anything.
Yeah, that's what you do, right?
That's what you do. I turn this truck around right now. The, what was I going to say? I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, I couldn't hear your, I don't know what the solution was to take off Google Maps.
What does Google Maps have to do with
that? Because they believe that's the problem. They believe that it's Google Maps interrupting the Bluetooth stream in order to say, turn left in 100 feet, like whatever, that never turns the Bluetooth back on. Like it shuts it. They believe it's a bug in that. But their solution to it is, oh yeah, just disable Google Maps and use Waze and then it won't happen. Well, the problem is that all of my saved places and everything are in Google Maps, right? It's like
I don't know why they never merged those two, because they own both of them.
We tried to use Waze the other day, and it is so cartoony looking. It's so cluttered. I think Zach was pointing out it's just so cluttered. It's like there's so much crap all over the screen on it, and that was when I realized it's like, oh, well, we're going to go play D&D and I had that location saved on Google Maps. So Waze doesn't even know how to get there. So, you know, I don't have an address. I mean, fortunately,
yeah, we
got there.
Yeah, I find Mark has, and actually I'm probably going to get a stereo that, is it called CarPlay or no? That's Apple.
Yeah, Apple has CarPlay and Android. Yeah,
it has Android Auto built in, so that I can just use my phone for everything. But it's not the best experience for sure.
I haven't had a problem with Android Auto in the past. The one thing that's different on my truck than in the previous car or in Zach's car, because they all had Android Auto, is that you had to plug in your phone. Like you had to connect your phone to the radio via USB. The truck is different in that it uses Bluetooth tickets. So you don't have to plug the phone in for Android Auto to work. It's all done over Bluetooth. And so I'm wondering if that's also part of it, like the new Bluetooth Android Auto, because it's fairly new.
Well, you said if they think the Bluetooth is what's causing it, then that would be.
But it's just so annoying because it's like there's no easy fix. And I live off of audio off my phone. Like that's my primary. So I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to CDs or anything like that. I have everything, either music or podcasts, are on my phone. So I've just taken now to just carrying my Bluetooth earbuds with me when I go driving. So that way, if it does cut out, I can just switch to my earbuds. But
first world problem.
Oh, shut up.
What are you gonna? Well, I mean, no, we all have them. We all have those things.
No, well, like some of us. That pay $120.
I mean, I don't even have a working stereo, so.
Some of us that paid $800 for a cabinet don't have those problems. By the way, was the cabinet the most expensive thing? Like, how much did the Bartesian cost?
It's $350.
So the cabinet was three times more than the Bartesian? This is why I think Wayfair is just like highway robbery. It's just like everything I've seen on Wayfair has just been so fucking expensive.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't go to Goodwill and find, you know, someone's used cabinet.
I'm saying like maybe IKEA or something, but it's just like, I feel like Wayfair is just super expensive.
So the problem with IKEA, first of all, IKEA is not that cheap. I mean, I bought my chairs at IKEA and they were like $400 a piece or something, but and that's for a chair. But the IKEA charges an arm and a leg to deliver here because we don't have a close IKEA. So it's like $200. They charge ship. I don't know why they charge shipping, because no other Wayfair, zero shipping. Amazon, zero shipping. All of these online.
Yeah, but I feel like you could have gotten a shelf. You could have gotten a cabinet system that would house everything from IKEA and shipping that still would have been less than $800. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My point is, what was the point? You were saying something about, I was trying to point out that for someone like you, first world problems are more prevalent than someone like me, a lowly, just regular guy.
Well, maybe.
I'm an everyman, Adam.
You are. Well, we did figure out I make more than you, so.
Oh, like by a lot. Like I should go work for Walmart.
We're hiring. All the time. Can't find enough good people.
Mm-hmm. Remotely?
I mean, IT is all remote. Oh. I mean, we don't have to. The only thing is, but I mean, if you have the skills, it's no problem. They prefer people to be close to a hub, but. And a hub being like either our California office, Seattle, or here. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it depends on the manager who's hiring, but we're not going back to the office ever. IT is never going back to the office. So they just are like, oh, but when we have those collaborative meetings, we'd like people to be able to get to them or whatever. But
yeah,
it doesn't matter. All right. What's going on in the chat room here?
Nothing. They're talking about a car. Is that your new ride?
No, but that's a nice looking car. I don't want a BMW though. No. BMW, let me tell you, I've had a BMW and getting those things fixed is every time you need to get a lug nut. It's thousands of dollars, it seems like. Everything is expensive on them, and they break. BMWs are not reliable. They break down a lot.
Well, the nice thing about an electric car is that there's very little to break down. It's an electric engine and some gears. It's like it's so simple.
There's actually an Audi, and I'm not going to do this, but I saw an ad on Twitter for a new Audi electric car. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty sexy looking. And it's a sedan. It's got four-door. I mean, I don't drive four-door cars like ever, but it's really sexy looking. Audi electric car. Let me see.
Originally I wanted an F-150 Lightning, which is the electric F-150. But understanding now the vast difference in gas mileage that you get from driving and versus towing. Because like when I'm just driving, I'm getting about 20 and 21 miles to the gallon in my truck. When I'm towing, I get like 8.5. it's so I don't think an electric truck could really tow for long.
Yeah. So that's the Audi I just put in the chat room.
Oh, nice. I do. I mean, electric cars are great.
For a four-door.
I love the little bolt that Zach has.
I mean, I think it's like $100,000. I'm not going to buy a $100,000 car, but.
Well, then get a bolt. The bolt. I love Zach's little bolt. It's cool.
Well, I'm not looking for a car. I'm drawn to sexy looking things, and it was on my Twitter feed, but I'm not getting a new car, but I'm just saying Mark wants to get a Tesla at some point. But. Who knows when?
The only thing I didn't like about Tesla, because a bunch of people had them at work, and was I don't think that they integrate their software into the dashboard and everything, and I don't think you can't use Google Maps or anything. You have to use Tesla's navigation.
Between 100,000 and 140,000. Depending on what model you get. Looks like.
I need to.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I need to step away. I'll be right back.
I mean, how are you? Okay. How are you going to pay $140,000 for a car? That is ridiculous. Some people would say, how are you going to pay $800 for a mini fridge cabinet? But I'm at the level of money in my life that I say, why would you ever pay $140,000 for a car? I actually think that Audi that I posted the picture of is sexier than the Tesla. At least based on the photo. I haven't seen it in person, but anyway, it's more expensive than I would ever pay for a car because I'm not a, even if I could afford that, I'm not a car person. I mean, I drive to get around, I you know, but I do like to be in a sexy car when I'm driving, you know, so that when I go through the drive-thru, the high school guy can say, ooh, nice car, you know, but I'm not going to pay $140,000 for that, I don't think. I mean, I'd rather buy a pool. If I was going to spend that kind of money, I think I'd rather do something around the house, like put in a pool or a sauna or, you know, whatever. Not a car. Yeah. Oh, so Cyclone, for anyone listening on Level 13, Cyclone is asking about backyard landscape progress. No, there has been no progress because we did buy a piece of art for over the mantle the other day. That is the only thing we've bought for the house other than the stuff I've bought for upstairs. But upstairs is easier because it's kind of my room. And so I can just randomly pick something and it does, you know, but anything downstairs, we have to both agree on and figure out like what our style is and like all this kind of stuff. And no, we have not done anything in the backyard, which is a shame because we're going to have a housewarming party on September 11th. And it would be nice if we had extra patio space. And there's, I mean, there's no way that would be done by then, but Mark did find someone online that's local that does landscaping design and she only charges about $25 an hour. So we thought about having her come out and look. But she doesn't have a website or anything, so there's not a portfolio. I can't really see what her work is like.
But at only $25 an hour.
That's true. Well, what I was going to do that I just kept procrastinating on is go on Fiverr or, you know, like one of those sites where you hire contractors and then
I don't think I get that joke.
Have them design. I don't either. Is the theme of your housewarming party going to be the Twin Tower destruction? I don't get. Oh, the party's on September 11th.
Oh.
I mean, that was just an unhappy coincidence.
You know what? Did 9/11 actually, God, this is horrible to say, but did 9/11 actually affect you? Like, did it like make you like to your core, make you like, you know, like what everyone says is like, oh, just to my core, I was just devastated. Blah, blah, blah. Was that your reaction to it?
On the day I felt devastated, yes. I think I got over it pretty quick.
Because to me, I had never been to New York. I had never seen the Twin Towers. I had never. So those things to me were just movie props, right? They didn't exist. They were just weird. So to me, it didn't mean anything. It wasn't anything I had ever experienced. So
for whatever reason, I was watching the news and I saw it happen. Like, I saw the tower come down, like, live.
Yeah, I think I did, too.
And so that was, you know, that was, I certainly felt, like, this hollow feeling in my gut or whatever. And you know, I was going to college at the time, and when I went to campus, everybody was just, like, sitting around the common area, like, watching the news and being sad and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I went to class, and then they didn't cancel class until like halfway through the class. And then they just like the thing had happened an hour or two before. And then it took them that long to decide like, oh yeah, I guess we're going to cancel class.
And I think I had already been to New York by then, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. To me, it was just never really real. I mean, when I lived in Connecticut and went into New York City and actually went and saw the museum and saw the, you know, right there in the actual footprints of where the World Towers were, it made it more real at that point in time. But prior to that, it was kind of one of those things where I was like, you know, this isn't, these are CGI explosions or something like that. It's not anything as real. Like it isn't like it happened to the castle at the Magic Kingdom. That would have shook me, Dad. That would have shook me to the core, right? The castle. Well, I think
it's more about people dying, and also the fact that America.
Adam, Tinkerbell lives in that castle.
I know. But it's, real people, Daniel. Real people died.
What are you
and it's
implying?
It's,
you're implying that Tinkerbell's not.
It's America. I mean, we are not used to having something like that happen on American soil. You know, I mean, we lose people in wars, but we're like, that was the first time or the only time I could think of where, you know, another country or terrorists from another country successfully came here and killed 3,000 people and destroyed two buildings. Like, that was pretty devastating, you know?
Yes.
Now, I live in Arkansas.
21 Saudi Arabians. And so to get back at them, we invaded, Iraq?
I don't know.
Yeah, invaded Iraq. Had nothing to do with the Saudi Arabians.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, devastated is I don't know that I was, I was sad for sure. I was sad for sure. But I was not scared. But I wasn't scared.
You're right. In my mind, I remember the Challenger explosion because I lived close enough to
keep. I watched that live as well.
I didn't watch it live. Well,
Channel One.
I don't know if I saw it live or not, but when I walked outside, I could see the clouds. Like, I mean, those were in our horizon the entire day, was that little Y-shaped cloud formation that had happened from the thing exploding. So
I feel like Anderson Cooper was the anchor who was anchoring.
Could have been.
When it happened.
But that was way more tangible and real to me than 9/11, because I had been to the Space Center and I was a big proponent of NASA.
Yeah, that was only five people or something who died?
Yeah, six people or so.
Not 3,000.
But New York City had always just been this weird fake place that didn't exist, right? New York City didn't exist because, he's from New York. You get a bunch of tourists from New York. But it's like, you don't really understand the size of New York City until you go there. And then when you go there, it's like, that's really big.
The only thing I knew New York City for a long time was New York City. This stuff's made in New York City.
New York City. That was Pace Picante sauce.
Get a rope.
Anderson Cooper didn't live broadcast Challengers. Also, I remember that speech by Reagan that he gave for the Challenger.
Are you sure, Cyclone? I'll tell you why. Because Anderson Cooper was on. How can you be so sure?
He was there.
No, because Anderson Cooper.
Wait. I will pay you money. Cyclone has been in. He's been in movies. He's been.
He was not on ABC overnight then.
Maybe Cyclone is Anderson Cooper, and that's how he would know that.
No, well, if he was on ABC overnight, I was unaware of that, but he was an anchor on a channel called Channel One, which only came on at schools. And they played it every morning. We had news that they would play on Channel One.
I don't think that counts.
Channel One. And Channel One did a live broadcast for schools, and Anderson Cooper was their main anchor for the Channel One news, and that's why I think he did the live. It wasn't ABC, it wasn't NBC, it wasn't CBS, it was called Channel One, and he was the main anchor, and there was some woman, but I remember Anderson Cooper because he was cute. I don't know if he was sitting, but I know he was the main anchor on Channel One. Every morning I would see Anderson Cooper.
When I Google Anderson Cooper Challenger, I don't get anything.
Well, because it wasn't on regular TV. It was a station only for schools.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you can't expect other people to know that weren't in elementary school or whatever.
School news, Channel One school news, daily news for kids.
Yes. So
it's still around.
Type in Channel One Challenger.
I mean, I don't know that he did, but I'm saying he was the main anchor for Channel One at that time.
videos of Channel 1 Challenger explosion. Let's go to Channel 1. Oh, I have to sign in with my school account? I can't watch on the web? Oh, that's so annoying.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't he, though? He was
the anchor on there. That's all I'm saying. You can ask Anderson Cooper.
We should call him. Do you have his number?
No.
You don't hobnob with the Vanderbilts?
Career. After Career. Anderson graduated from Yale, he tried
Stop. So even before that, Anderson Cooper. What was her name? Gloria Vanderbilt was his mom.
Yeah.
So he was like a millionaire the day he was born. He's like, Anderson Cooper didn't ever have to do it. After he paid his way through Yale.
So it said, what year was...
The Challenger was 1985, 86? 86.
So after Cooper graduated from Yale, he tried to gain entry-level employment with ABC answering telephones, but was unsuccessful. Finding it hard to get his foot in the door of on-air reporting, Cooper decided to enlist the help of a friend making a fake press pass. At the time, Cooper was working as a fact checker for the small news agency Channel One, which produces youth-oriented news programs that is broadcast to many junior high and high school students in the United States. Cooper then entered Myanmar, on his own with his forged press pass and met with students fighting the Burmese government. He was ultimately able to sell his homemade news segments to Channel One. After reporting in Myanmar, he lived in Vietnam for a year. He persuaded Channel One to allow him to bring his Hi8 camera with him.
What year was this?
It doesn't say.
I'm just going to find out, you know what? When did Anderson Cooper graduate Yale? Anderson Cooper graduated Yale in 1989. So if he didn't start doing Channel One stuff until after he graduated Yale, the Challenger explosion was 3 years before he graduated from Yale. So I'm sorry, Adam. Cyclone is correct. There's no possible way you could have seen Anderson Cooper during the Challenger explosion because at the time he was a student at Yale. I love the look on your face there.
I know.
You're like an anti-vaxxer that I drop a truth bomb on you. Oh, yeah? Well, your wife just died.
Well, I know that I remember.
The memory is a tricky, tricky thing.
I remember watching the Challenger explosion on Channel One.
Yeah, well, there could have been a really cute news reporter.
Anderson Cooper was a correspondent on Channel One, for sure.
But not in 86. He was not a reporter on Channel 1.
The Challenger explosion was 86?
Yes. So Anderson Cooper, at the minimum, was a news reporter on Channel 1 in 89, but more likely 1990 was his first year because it was after he graduated Yale. So
what happened in that year that I would have seen live? I saw something live that was like a major...
Anderson Cooper has three penises, says Auntie Scott. I've had Anderson at several parties in my fabulous Woodland Hills mansion.
I don't think Channel One existed.
In fact, Anderson Cooper once said of my creme brulee that it was the best creme brulee he'd ever had.
I mean, maybe we watched it on CNN or something. Maybe I just got Channel One confused. Anyway, I used to watch Anderson Cooper on Channel One.
Hey, do you know how to make blue cheese dressing?
I hate blue cheese. So, no. I mean, in theory I do, because it's ranch dressing basically with blue cheese in it.
So that's, you would just mix together
Well, mayonnaise and like some lemon juice and whatever herbs, whatever come in like a ranch.
Here's the thing. When I was at Andy Scott's house, he made some chicken wings.
Oh, sorry. Mayonnaise.
And he didn't have any blue cheese dressing, which is what I like on my chicken wings. And he's like, well, hold on, I'll make some. And I'm like, wait, how the fuck do you make blue cheese dressing?
You just make like a ranch dressing
and put blue cheese in it. No, he used mayonnaise and some sour cream and some salt and stuff and blue cheese crumbles. And
ranch dressing.
It was delicious. No, it's not ranch dressing. The ranch dressing has none of the spices that ranch had in it.
Ranch dressing has mayonnaise and you can put sour cream in it as well. I said a similar base to ranch dressing with blue cheese in it. And there are all different types of blue cheese dressing. It's not like there's one recipe out there. It is a mayonnaise based. How dare you call me a plebeian fuck?
Let me just say that no matter what, it was delicious. Auntie Scott made a delicious blue cheese. That's one of those experiences that you have. Have you ever been to a fancy restaurant where they make the guacamole at your table, or they do some kind of, you know, like, oh, we're going to make the bananas Foster right here in front of you. We're going to cook, you know, have you ever been to a restaurant where they do that?
Yeah.
That was what it was like. I was at Auntie Scott's house and I was just like, oh, you don't have blue cheese? Oh, that's right. I'll have some ranch. And he was like, oh, no. And he went and made fucking blue cheese dressing.
But I just want to have this out. I love you too, Auntie Scott.
Have you ever been to Auntie Scott's house?
I haven't.
Yeah, let me give you a piece of advice. Don't walk on the carpet in the living room.
Okay.
Okay, good.
But I know you've cooked longer than me because you are older than I am by a few years. However, I cook a lot and I do watch a lot of cooking shows and I do read a lot of cookbooks. And I do know, it's not like I'm some backwater, you know, I may have a Southern accent, but I do know how food works. And it is a similar dressing. It does not have all the same herbs and spices. I get that word.
Can I throw something in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
The ranch dressing that most of us know and love, I believe, is buttermilk based. It's not a sour cream. It's buttermilk based. Because isn't it buttermilk ranch dressing? Isn't that the full title of it?
Well, the Hidden Valley one, but that's not what I'm talking. Like ranch dressing, there are gourmet versions of it where you can actually take oil and eggs and make your own aioli and then mix, you know, whatever. Is it herbs or herbs here in the United
States? It's herbs here in the United States.
Herbs. Okay, thank you.
It's herbs in England because it starts with a fucking H. And it's like that. That's one of my favorite jokes. Yeah.
Well, ever since I lived there, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I lived in England.
You don't like to talk about that at all.
Yeah, I don't. And ever since I lived there, I always forget whether it's herbs or herbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, one could see that because you're basically an English citizen. Like you're basically
hear my British accent?
aren't you MBE? Isn't it Adam Burns MBE?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have a similar base.
All right.
Is what I'm
saying.
Can we
drop the whole thing? It's buttermilk
also
for the ranch.
Who calls someone a plebeian? Like what century are we in right now? Does that come from?
All right. So you mentioned Ted Lasso earlier.
Yeah.
So have you seen tonight's episode?
No, we're a couple episodes behind because we like to binge things. We don't like to watch them. And so, anyway, I don't like blue cheese dressing, Auntie Scott, but I know it's a similar base. We have not watched tonight's.
Okay.
It's a mayonnaise based dressing. That's all I know.
Oh,
why was it good?
Oh, no, I was going to ask you a theory. There's a mystery, and I wanted to ask you but I'm not going to, you haven't even gotten to the mystery yet.
I'm surprised you're watching it, though, because it's sports-based. You know,
it is not. It's sports team, like, but you don't actually, you never have to know anything about the sport. Like, there's no, Like, you're not watching the outcome of a game or like going, oh, he got a 3-point penalty or, you know, he didn't kick him from the end zone.
But you want them to win. You're like rooting for
them. But that's a very basic kind of win-loss thing. You don't have to know anything about soccer to enjoy the show.
I'm still food challenged. I'm not food challenged.
Auntie Scott, don't put that on your OnlyFans because they've now stopped doing porn. Yeah.
Look, you guys can think what you want.
Oh my God. Will you just let it go? Just concede.
I'm not talking about blue cheese dressing. I'm a good cook. I'm not food challenged.
Nobody said you weren't a good cook. No one said you weren't a good cook. Did you hear those words come out of anyone?
He said, I'm food challenged.
That doesn't mean that you can't cook. That just means that your taste in food is questionable.
It's not. Though it's not,
that's all palate based. That's all palate based. Like to a French person, we're eating like, you're eating like the ribs of an animal. We only eat their eyelids and noses. It's like, you know, that's a cultural thing.
Okay. Well, anyway, RT is hi, RT Cruiser. I don't think we've said hello to you.
He just arrived, or at least he just spoke up.
You've got mail. You remember that? Welcome.
I'm far too young to know what you're talking about.
You've got mail.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
I think blue. It's AOL.
Never heard of it. Is that
when you would sign into AOL? This lady would say, "Welcome."
AOL. Never heard You've of it. Got is mail. That a, is that a thing? What's AOL? Is that a
I know you know what it is. You used to get a disc in the mail.
No idea.
They'd be like, AOL for free.
No idea what you're talking about.
And they had gay chat rooms. Those were the first gay chat rooms that...
Channel 33.
And you would... and Anderson Cooper was on there. I don't know if you knew that.
He was on Channel 1.
And during... He was on the gay chat rooms.
The gay one was Channel 33, but he was... Yeah, he was in Channel 1 on...
Yeah.
On AOL.
He was there.
Adam, I'm not going to look it up, but I could look it up. Why I just want to let you know.
Auntie Scott, why do you want to go over to my mom's house for dinner? What? Also, blue cheese tastes like feet, like bad feet, like feet that have been sweating in.
Hey, don't yuck somebody's yum. What is like people are into feet, whatever. You can't just say that's bad.
Sweaty, nasty feet with like toe jam in between the toes.
Then you just you basically turn into she's not doing so well at that point in time. Because, you know, they fat shame on that show like all the damn time. There was a guy that was like 500 pounds and I was like, ew. And then there was a guy that was like 400 pounds and I was like, ew.
We're in the after show. We like to refer to it as the afterglow.
The afterglow is happening right now.
I know you and Auntie Scott love to make fun of religion. I've got one for you. When I went to the First Assembly of God church, the Pentecostal church, they would have these potluck dinners.
Yes,
after the Wednesday night service
with actual pot,
and they would call them afterglow.
Oh, afterglow.
Yeah, they were the afterglow of the service. And my favorite part of the Wednesday night service was the afterglow.
I'm no somebody on the blummy open the doobada. The Lord says that I am the light and the way. Okay, well, good night, everyone. Hey, join us for the afterglow. It's going to be taking place in the fellowship hall right after the service.
Exactly.
Really
good chicken spaghetti.
Oh God, you know, I heard somewhere that it was Italian settlers that created fried chicken and spaghetti. Yeah. That was their thing. That they like and it's only you can only find it in Tonti Town at the Grape Festival.
Yeah, exactly. I know Henry de Tonti was an Italian immigrant. There were lots of other Italian immigrants that came here with him. I don't know why they chose Tonti Town. I don't know. I'm sure there is a reason. And they planted grapes.
They planted grapes.
And I don't know about the fried chicken. I just found it interesting that people around here were serving fried chicken with spaghetti because I had never seen that before.
Because they were the opposite of St. Thomas. They didn't want those chickens running around, so they cooked them and put them in the pasta.
I'm not really sure. Also, they had good yeast rolls.
I mean, how do you, how do you,
that's an Italian thing, but
you know, it's not. And how do you,
I love a good yeast roll.
Well, yeah, but how do you mess those up? Like, how can you mess up a yeast roll?
You could kill the yeast.
But then you would, you wouldn't serve those.
They're good though.
Not when they're rocks, but when the yeast doesn't rise.
Well, right. But when they're good, they're good. Those big fluffy ones like you got at the cafeteria at school. I don't know if you guys had those big, huge yeast rolls.
So we're coming to your place in December sometime.
Mark keeps asking me, so are they going to make a plan? Like, are they coming here?
Asking Zach to lock down the dates that we're going to be going there, and he hasn't decided yet.
Because you know Mark, he likes a plan.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He wants a spreadsheet.
Mittens needs a plan. He needs an itinerary.
With times, like what day you're going to be here.
What time are they going to be here? Doing. What do they eat? I need to know what they drink. What temperature do they like their sodas?
Yeah. So he was just asking me that when we were on our walk the other day. He said, well, when are they coming? I'm like, I don't know.
Here, we generally travel when it's cheapest during the holiday. So that's between holidays. So between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's going to be somewhere in early December. Oh, he's going back to Manila?
He keeps putting it off because of COVID. So he wants to go around Christmas time.
Yeah.
But they start Christmas in September and it goes all the way through January.
Wow. That's crazy.
They're really into Christmas there.
Apparently, it's 6 months out of the year. They're really
into. Decorate and all that starting in September. So
I just bought tickets today to the Disney Christmas celebration. We're going, our time that we're going is going to be November 18th. Yeah, November 18th. We're going to be going. So a week before Thanksgiving, we're going to be going to Disney's Christmas celebration.
He may still be awake because he had an install tonight. He had to do validation, but apparently there was a problem and they may have to back it out.
Back it out. Beep. Beep. So, beep, beep.
And he hasn't messaged me good night yet, so I assume he's still awake. But yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I keep telling
him. Well, Auntie Scott, then come to Florida because the Florida Haunted Mansion does not have an overlay. You always get the original Haunted Mansion attraction here at Florida. And before you tell me that the Disneyland Haunted Mansion is newer or is the original and the one here is different. Those two rides were built at the same time. The joke around here, because the Haunted Mansion opened in Disneyland in like 1969, was it? Or 1970. But they built the Haunted Mansion here, was the very first attraction that they built when they were building Walt Disney World, which didn't open until 71. And the joke was that on opening day, the Haunted Mansion actually already had cobwebs in it because it had been there for so long. So, I know that the two Haunted Mansions were built at the same time.
I feel like you've told that before. Mm-hmm.
The only difference between them is the portrait gallery and the shrinking room. And it's just like minor changes to those.
I'm just amused by the whole Florida versus California Disney.
There isn't.
Thing.
There's not a Florida versus California thing. There's Florida, which is awesome. And then there's California, which was the park. That was version one. That was the Disney beta. So Disney 1.0, Disney beta is California. The Disney 2.0, the perfected and well thought out Disney is Florida.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
That may piss both of you off.
Yeah, what? What?
The first time I went to Disney, mm-hmm. I thought, what was all the hoopla about?
Yeah.
Like, it's a theme park.
Right. Because you have no heart.
I mean, like, look, I like Disney, but I don't get the, like, the most magical place on earth. You know what? I don't get that. I get, like, it's a theme park and there are characters.
Well, of course you don't, shows. You robot. You have no actual human emotions. That's I tear up when I see the fireworks show.
I know. Trust me. We were in that restaurant on the top floor of whatever that
place was. And you were
laughing
at me for crying at Wishes.
The music came on and the fireworks, and Daniel is like tears streaming down his face.
It was Wishes.
And
have a
I'm
dream.
Like, what are you wishes. Crying for? Let's put this in perspective, wishes. Daniel. Let's put this in perspective.
Yes.
You felt nothing.
For 9/11.
But you cry at a fireworks display. Okay?
Ladies
just some perspective.
And boys and girls, in just 5 minutes, we will present our nighttime fireworks spectacular, Wishes, a magical gathering of Disney dreams. In order for you to fully experience tonight's presentation,
yes.
The lighting around the Magic Kingdom will
Ooh.
Be reduced.
Ooh, yes.
For your own safety and for that of others,
please
we ask
take
that
small
you remain in the same
the
location
hand.
Until the lighting returns to normal.
Damas, caballeros y niños. En solo 5 minutos se presentarán nuestros espectaculares fuegos artificiales. Wishes,
Brad Cholo.
Disney Dreams. Para que disfruten al máximo de la presentación esta noche, se bajarán las luces en Magic Kingdom.
I always love how they do everything in like the Spanish accent except for the English words, and then they just harshly come out of it.
And now, your
that
host,
makes me think of the
Jiminy Cricket,
the tram.
Why, good evening, folks.
Yes,
and they do it in Spanish, and they're like, "Put your manos in the." I can't remember the whole Spanish phrase, but put your hands or manos. You put your manos inside the.
Por favor, el niño de the Magic Kingdom.
Gracias. That's how they end it. Put your manos inside the train. Gracias.
So I'm just gonna play you the last. I think it's the last minute, the last 90 seconds of Wishes. How can you not cry at Wishes?
Who cries at a fireworks?
Wait, no. This is, all right, it's right there. So the end's right at 14. So I'm going to take it back to
Andy Scott. Have you ever 12. Cried?
Here we go.
At that, the Disney friends, fireworks
is
display.
Where the magic lives.
All right, listen.
See what a little wishing can do?
Stops doing that show after you cried.
They're
like, no, we have to redo this.
How dare you? How dare you make fun of someone who is emotionally moved by a very touching display of fireworks? It's you. You personally, you, Adam Burns personally, that is responsible for bullying those of us who are, yes. It's your
I'm
fault.
I'm not bullying. I'm just saying that you know, I don't cry at fireworks displays. But
okay, well, RT Cruise, you're not going to tear up. You're not going to tear up just from the 90 seconds. But if you're a Disney fan and you watch Wishes, I encourage anyone to go onto YouTube and just search for Wishes Nighttime Spectacular. There's numerous videos of it. It's from about 4 years ago. Watch it. And if you love Disney at all, I feel it's very, very moving. The fireworks with the narrative that they have going through with the music. However, the show that replaced it, Happily Ever After, is also amazing. I really love Happily Ever After. And
I really enjoy.
Here's the thing. The Happily Ever After is ending in September. Scott the Satyr will get to see one of the very final performances.
Oh, so they have a new one?
Yeah, because the 50th anniversary starts October 1st. So there's a new...
called Happy Wishes?
No, it's called Enchantment. I think it's called Enchantment.
I really like the lighting display on the castle itself, the projection.
Yes, and Happily Ever After.
Where they changed the castle to look like different crap.
Happily Ever After mixes fireworks and castle projections.
You know what I don't like?
Is what?
How the parents feel like they can put their kids on their shoulders.
Oh my God.
I hate that.
Here's my question.
Nobody behind you can see because little Timmy.
Yeah, I know. Little Timmy. Little Timmy's dad now becomes a 9-foot fucking Goliath in the middle of fucking Main Street. No, I agree. Here's my question. How do you stop it? Like, I've never figured out like how you can't be a Karen. You can't, go grab a cast member and go like, this guy over here has put his child on his shoulders and everything. It's like, I don't know what we need to do as a movement of people to just shame these assholes into not doing it. I don't know. Because if you just hold your child at head like level in your arms and you just hold the child so that his face is at the same level as you, then you're not blocking anyone and everyone can enjoy the show. But as soon as you like put those little fucking kids on your head and you become like
all the parents do
and they don't do it until the show starts. So you think you have a good spot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 5 seconds into the show starting,
so we actually had the perfect spot. Maybe that's why you were crying. You're like, oh my God, I've never seen
The Contemporary Hotel. We were in the restaurant, California Grill at Zapping Contemporary, and we were watching it through the windows because we had a window seat.
We were eating pork belly. Well, I was.
You were having, I had a filet. Oh my God, it was so good. That was that horrible, horrible Universal Studios trip where I got so pissed off at Universal people yelling at me. I'm like,
we're back at Disney.
I'm like, I'm leaving right now. And you're like, no, we can't leave. We paid for the whole day. And I'm just like, I don't care. We're going to Disney. I don't care. We got to go to, I can't take these Universal fuckholes anymore. We're going to Disney. And when we went to Disney just for dinner, and as soon as I got on property, I was everything was better.
You calmed down.
Everything. The whole cast members were like, hello, Daniel, how are you? And I was just like, I am so much better now. Thank you for asking. Thank you for not yelling at me like those goddamn Universal trashy teammates. Thank you, cast member. I value and support you. And we had a lovely dinner.
Yeah.
We got to see Wishes. I cried because it moved me so much. And you made fun of me for doing that because you're a bully. And that was the last time that you and I had a vacation together.
I have never thought of myself as a bully.
You are a bully. Why are you crying? That's so stupid.
I don't even think I said that. I don't even think I said that. But it was good fodder for any show we've done since.
Here's the thing. There is such an embarrassment of riches heading my way in the next 2 months. It's beyond belief. We've got Walt Disney World, my favorite place on earth. Walt Disney World is about to celebrate their 50th anniversary. They're opening all these new rides and attractions. They've got two new nighttime shows. We've got the new Enchantment over at the Kingdom, and we have Harmonious over at Epcot, like two brand new nighttime shows that are coming up. All this stuff starts October 1st. This new restaurant, Space 220, have you heard about this?
Nope.
So at Mission Space here at Epcot, They've designed a restaurant which is in itself an attraction. So you go and you board a space elevator and it takes you up this, you know, you have like a, I don't know, 8K monitors around the elevator or whatever. And it looks like you're going into outer space and you go to this restaurant and the restaurant has panoramic windows going all around it that are looking out over the planet. Like it's up in space. You're like, it's like you're in space. It's a Space 220 restaurant that's opening in almost October 1st. It's like, there are so many cool fucking things coming this right now to Florida. It's like, I'm so jazzed for this whole thing. It's going to be cool.
Does Disney World have like the whole Star Wars?
Yeah.
Because a podcast I listened to said, I guess they recently opened that Star Wars area in Disneyland.
Well, they built the exact same land in both places.
Okay.
So,
because he was just going on and on and on and about how realistic it was and how even down to the trash cans and everything, you felt like you were on a planet in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everything was
they do
really
amazing
cool
stuff. And Disney just announced their new Disney Genie. Disney Genie is coming. That's going to be awesome. It's a new whole system that basically will guide you based off of the historical data over the last 60 years about like crowd levels and stuff. So you'd be like, I like roller coasters. And you'll go like, okay, the best time to go to this one is at this time and the best one to go to this one at this time. And it's for a small upcharge, it's now the new FastPass. So if you want the new, you know, like the Max Pass they had in California, you can now $15 a day and you can have your Fast Pass on your app and you can basically go, oh, I would like to ride this roller coaster now. And so
we had the CTO of Disney at Walmart a few years back talking about the wristband that they had developed.
Oh yeah, they're getting rid of those. Yeah, because now they want everyone on their phone. So now they're moving everything over to the phone. They're like, they realize that the wristbands were very convenient. But how do you, it's kind of like, all right, think about this. As a podcaster, you know that there's no free place, really, to put your audio. I mean, there is now because of Anchor and Spotify, because they've got venture capital money behind them or whatever. But it was always free on YouTube to store as much video as you wanted to, but you couldn't store just regular audio, like a regular podcast audio. You had to pay for some kind of hosting service. Didn't matter how expensive or how cheap it was, but you had to pay for some kind of, there was no free option. Yeah. And I feel like magic bands are that to the cell phones, because at some point when Disney developed that, the Magic Band system, they were like, that's really cool and it's really convenient for guests, but we can't communicate with the guests. Like the reason that YouTube allows free video is because they can put ads right over the top of the bottom, you know, of the video. They don't have to interrupt your video to show you an ad. But there's no way for them to monetize a podcast, right? There's no way for them to, in, you know, to overlay an ad on top of a podcast. That's why we had to pay to store audio, but not pay to store video. I feel like the Magic Bands were the same thing. It's like, okay, that's great, but how do we sell things to them? Or how do we alert them of things that might that we might want to?
Because you could tap
to,
it on the Coke machine.
Yeah, but they would, right. But so now what they said, you know what they have? Everyone has their own cell phone. And that cell phone has a screen on it. That means that we can interrupt, we can notify people of things like, hey, by the way, this thing that you said you're interested in is happening right over there. Like we can direct the crowd. We can direct them into doing things. And that's why the Magic Band stuff is all going away now. They're just moving it over to cell phones because who knew? I mean, a Magic Band really, when you get down to it, is a something with an RFID chip in it. Which is near field communications, NFC, right? So it's like, what's the other thing that has NFC on it? Oh, cell phones. And we have those in our pocket, right? The
except for that Microsoft Surface Duo that I bought last year, which does not have NFC.
Right, but it has.
I did use NFC the other day because I forgot my wallet on my way to church. And I was able to find a gas station that, I mean, you know, I live in the country. Not all the gas stations have contactless payment. So
I need a new wallet. And just because I don't have one that will hold all of my stuff comfortably or whatever. And I was on my Facebook page, they had like this ad for Ridge Wallet or something like that, like the new wallet Ridge or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll hold all of your shit and, you know, a millimeter of space, whatever. And I went and looked at their website and they were like $185. So like, why would I pay $185 for a wallet? Like that's outrageous. Like a wallet to me should be something that you pay $20 for, right? It's like, wait, I want a place to store my money. I don't want to like get rid of all my money to have a thing, right? It's like, I want some money left over to put in the wallet. It's like, that's just crazy that it's $189 for a wallet. Is it, how much have you ever paid for a wallet? Now, in fairness, I've never in my life paid more than $20 for a wallet. And I now have a couple of wallets that are much more than $20, but they were gifts. Like Zach gave me them as a gift. So that doesn't count.
I mean, I don't know. The last one that I bought is similar to a Ridge wallet because I think I saw it on, oh yeah. The one I bought is a similar form factor to a Ridge wallet. Uh-huh. And it doesn't say how much it was. It's a SWZA carbon fiber minimalist wallet for men, RFID blocking credit card holder, metal wallet. But it doesn't say how much I paid. I don't know, maybe $50.
Yeah, but not $185 or whatever.
I mean,
that's just crazy. So. That's how I feel when I look at Wayfair too. I'm just like, I was looking for a circular pedestal table for the rig, right?
Oh, I paid $20 for it.
And a circular pedestal table on Wishes, I mean, not Wishes, on Wayfair is like $620. I was just like, but it's a table. It's just a pedestal table. It's like, how can it possibly be that much money? And then I found one at IKEA for, no, why do you always jump to Goodwill? I
that's
usually
my current wallet, but I don't like it. So
I usually go to Habitat for Humanity, by the way, not Goodwill.
Oh.
But thank you for playing. I actually Zach went to a Habitat.
Believe in paying for quality. You know,
I mean, yeah, but we're trying to decorate. Unlike you, we do have a vision for the decoration of our house, which is Jungle Cruise. And Zach just bought a new chandelier that's very Jungle Cruisey. You couldn't buy that new. You have to find those old weathered chandeliers that scream Jungle Cruise. He bought that at a Habitat for Humanity store. I haven't put it in yet because it's sitting out in the garage, but that's on my list of things to put in.
Wow. Well, we bought a piece of art.
You know what my problem with art is I have numerous pieces of art that that have been gifted to me. I don't hang them up. And I even went and bought a picture hanging kit so that I could hang them up. And I still haven't hung them up. It's like, I'm so paranoid about hanging pictures because I think at one point in time I couldn't hang them straight. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I had three pictures and I wanted them to be lined up and I couldn't figure out how to do it. And then like someone made a joke about it or like pointed it out to me. And then I was just mortified by the whole thing. So I'm just,
there are easy ways to do it.
Well, yes, of course. I realize that now with technology and stuff, but it's like as a 20-year-old kid, like with their first apartment, I, you know, didn't hang pictures right. And people were like, well, that's the horrible way to do that. And I just felt, I feel so anxious about hanging pictures that I just can't do it. It's like there's a mental block there. I just can't do it. I could never do anything straight.
So. I'm not sure if I love the art that we picked, but it is what it is.
You should art should always make you feel something. Like, see this little picture right there, right behind me?
I'm looking at a website.
I'm pointing my finger.
Yeah. It's very small, but yes.
Yes, but that's...
Oh, it's a cartoon face.
That's Figment.
With eyeballs.
That's Figment, and that makes me feel something. See this right here? This is a picture of Zach and I with Daisy Duck, and that makes me feel something. This is Pluto. Pluto makes me feel very happy. This is the Pride 48 signed poster over here that from one of the... I think that our fifth year or our first... It's either our first or our fifth year.
I mean, I have those things, but I don't consider those to be art necessarily.
Why? That is art.
And I don't, I'm not a big fan of art, but you know, you got to have something to put on the walls.
Cause you got to have that. Well, you should put things on the walls that make you happy. See this, this picture that you did is just off of camera range right here. This is a hand drawn sketch of Pluto done by the actual cast member that draws Pluto, like the guy that actually draws Pluto. So it's like, it's a framed sketch of Pluto, like a rough sketch of Pluto by the guy that draws him, like the guy that draws him for the comics.
For ours, I mean, we, for up here in my room, I do have like shadow boxes with all my Pride 48 stuff and like all that. So I do have,
I have, pictures downstairs of Stitch. I have pictures downstairs of Disney Jungle Cruise stuff and whatnot that I have the frames for them. I have everything, but I can't get them hung on the wall.
Because you're afraid they won't be straight.
Yeah, I'm scared to hang them up. Like, what if I damage the wall? Whatever. Even though I've built walls before, like I know how to repair a wall. It's just drywall. And anyway, I also need to paint. And I got to plant some stuff in the backyard. You know what? I'm just waiting for it not to be so fucking hot. I'm waiting for it to be like, you know, November, December, so that I can live for more than 5 minutes out in the yard.
It's hot here too. I mean, it's probably, you know, I say this, but it may not be. It's been so humid here recently. I assume it's more humid in Florida, but it's been way humid here recently. I don't know why. So it feels even hotter, but it's been in the 90s. So it's not like it's been in the hundreds or anything, but it's
It's humid and you go out like and do anything, then you sweat. And then you feel sticky. You get home and you feel sticky and you feel gross. And it's like, I need to like take another.
For some reason, it's always the middle of my back that sweats and that rolls down my butt crack.
You should design underwear that has a gutter system in it that like directs the water away from your butt crack. Like it's the prehensile tail underwear. It directs the rainwater away from your butt crack.
I need something.
I got to say this, though. I got to say this. And I don't mean any offense by this, Adam. I got to say this. I have never sweated down my back where sweat ran into my butt crack. That's never happened. And I lived in Florida. I live in Florida, which is like the most humid place on the fucking planet.
Why would I take offense to that?
I don't think, Adam, that that's a common, I don't think your gutter underwear is going to have a huge market because I think you're unique. I don't know.
I've not really inquired with people where I'm just like,
maybe
sweat.
You should
Mark's
check
face.
You should check the market.
Sweats a lot.
Yeah.
And he gets very sweaty on his face and like his head and like neck.
Yeah.
Neck. But I sweat on my back and it rolls down my butt crack.
Goes down your butt crack.
First place. Well, I was going to say, I need to say goodnight soon. And
you
then
do.
Andy Scott said, refilling, be right back. So I feel like I don't want to just hang up and him come back and we be
gone.
No,
it's fine. You've got a thing to do tomorrow. I'm going to try to wash my truck tomorrow. I have to go on the internet and research like what the best car wash wax. Because like when I was a kid, you had to use like that. Turtle wax. Yeah, the Carnauba wax, the turtle wax where you had to like brush it on and then come back and buff it off and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if that's still a thing or maybe modern chemistry has graced us with like a liquid that you can just wash it with this liquid and it's waxed.
Or you can just go through the car washes where they have the rollers and your car.
I don't want those rollers to scratch my truck.
And then you just pay for... You add the wax option and
I don't
sprays
want that.
Wax
those
on.
Things will scratch my truck. I don't want those things to scratch my truck.
No, I don't know. I don't hand wash my car. Although that is the one, it ripped off the front bumper of my car.
Yeah.
But I don't go to that one anymore. I boycotted that one because they refused to pay. So
the other ones did pay?
It was clearly their fault and they refused to help me with my bumper at all. and I had to file a claim, but the on my insurance, but the deductible was more than the cost of.
When I dated Damien a long, 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 long time ago, he worked at a gas station. He was a manager at a Chevron station. And they had a car wash. And the stories that he would tell me about that fucking car wash was like people would go through in a truck, but not realize that the boat anchor was in the back of the truck. And then the rollers would pick up the boat anchor and start slamming it through the metal of the car. like just ripping the truck in half. And like people's antennas would get caught up in them and then it would do the same thing. It would just be like this big metal scratching thing along the entire car with these whatnot. So all these horror stories about this fucking car wash. So I don't go to car washes that use them. I go to hand car washes and stuff. Like I'll go to a hand car wash before I'll go to one of those like slappity things. There's been so many horror. I'm sure they're all lovely and safe now. Maybe I should get over that.
Because they told me
20 years ago
to position my tire the way I did. And then it ripped my bumper off. And then they're like, oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. It's your risk coming through this car wash. See the sign there that says come through this car wash at your own risk or whatever.
Isn't there an existing podcast where you talk about the plane crash? Andy Scott just typed in the chat room. I'm not being the smartest here, but could you tell about your plane crash either here or on your show? I'm really curious. I know that you talked about it on an old episode of Mix of Dubious Intent, but I don't even know where. How you would look that up. Because we don't keep show notes to that level of like what we talked about on the show. So it's like,
I remember that Joe Batanz asked me.
Yeah. I feel like Joe Batanz did a whole interview thing about it.
I don't know if he was doing it for one of his shows or if he was doing it.
You know what? I think it happened in Vegas at one of the, what was there catching up?
It may have, but
it was one of the live catching up where he was interviewing you about it.
I remember doing it with him and we were talking on like a Zoom call or a Skype call or something.
Oh, and then
I don't know if he was guest hosting on Dubious Intent or I don't know. What do you want to know about the plane crash?
Well, like, you know, if someone says, oh, I was in a plane crash, it's like, what? What do you mean? What the fuck? What happened?
So, just the boilerplate, just the kind of, I mean, I can go into detail later because it's getting late, but I was on a trip. The thing that I always tell people is I was on a choir trip and a college choir trip. And we originally were supposed to go to China and there were all these issues in China. And so between the U.S. and China, I think it's when a bombing happened of the embassy.
It's probably when Anderson Cooper went to Myanmar.
And so they said, it's not a good thing for you guys to go to China right now because the relationship between the U.S. and China is not good and, you know, yada, yada. And so they were able to switch the trip to Germany. And I got a premonition and we were all sad about it and everything. We were still happy that we were going on a trip, but we had all been really excited about going to China. And one day I just got really depressed and I thought, I think something's going to happen. I thought our plane was going to crash. Like I literally had this premonition that something was, and I was not afraid to fly. Like I've never been. So anyway, I had that thought. And then we go on the trip, we have a good time, yada, yada, we're coming back. And it was really, we were in Dallas and it was really stormy and our flight was delayed. And right before we got on the plane, I thought, it's stormy and this is the last flight home. This is our last chance to have this plane crash that I was thinking about. And this literally went through my mind as we were boarding the plane. And so it's a short trip between Dallas and Little Rock. It's only like, it was a Super 80, American Airlines Super 80. So, that's what they called it. Super 80. I don't know if it's a McDonnell Douglas 80 or I don't know, but anyway, So it's only like a 45-minute trip between Dallas and Little Rock. So, but when they went to land, the pilot came over and said, hey, due to the storm. Yeah. He said, due to the storm, we're not going to be able to land the normal, the way we were going to land. We're going to have to circle around and come in the other way because we can't see. And so he, and that's the last thing we heard. I mean, he told us that. And then, you know, they did the circle around and then they started to land. And I just felt all this bumping. But my plane crash was, yeah, that's the one. And we landed. So, I mean, it was really, really bumpy. And we landed. And then we just didn't stop. Like, we just kept going really, really fast. Imagine the speed you're going in the air. You're going that on the runway. And you're not. And they tried to use the brakes on the wheels. But the we started hydroplaning. Because the runway was wet. And we ran off the runway and down this embankment, this like rock embankment. And, you know, we went off the runway several times into the grass and that was rough and everything. And then we went down this hill into a field and it's where they have the metal structure that holds the lights at the end of the runway. And we ran into the metal structure and that's what stopped us. And the plane broke up into three or four pieces. And I...
Which piece were you on?
I was right near the wing. I can't remember if I was in front of or behind the wing.
Is that the second or the third? Huh? So, like, you say it broke up into four pieces.
Let me flight...
Because I'm looking at the picture in the chat room of that plane. It looks like the wing is past the halfway point of the plane. So, if it was going to break into fours... then it seems like the third section would have the wing.
Okay, I've got a picture. I'll show everyone. Save image address. Let's see if this shows in Discord. Oh, no.
No, well, it says data image JB.
That's weird. Okay, wait a minute. Let me find a different one.
Yeah, it's copy image it's address. Just it's base 64 stuff. There you go. Now we can see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the
so
first...
you see that crack right behind the A?
Yeah, so that's the...
That's where I was sitting.
Oh.
Right behind the crack. And I got out by crawling through that crack.
Oh.
The one that's right behind the A.
Was there any sweat dripping down it?
I don't, probably. And the guy before me, and the crack was right in front of my seat, or behind, I can't remember. And I'm not getting stressed. I'm not. And so the guy on my row, no, I didn't, I don't even know if I had, cause you know, you don't carry anything with you when you're, so I don't, I think probably my boarding pass was on the plane or something, but, so I crawled out through that crack.
Yeah.
And the guy before me, I landed on top of him and I had, we were probably about 14 feet in the air.
Oh, wow.
And, I landed on top of him and, I never talked to him after that, but he was interviewed by news. Actually, I was really upset because no news ever interviewed me and everybody else got interviewed. And I thought, why didn't they want to interview me? Did they not think I was cute enough? That literally.
Right, but so what happened to the interview? He's like, I don't know, some fat kid dropped on me from 14 feet. Well, wait, what did he say?
He didn't say a fat kid, but they said, did you have any injuries from the crash? And he said, well, from the crash, no.
Oh,
but
oh shit, he called you out.
He said, I had a couple of cracked ribs from the guy who came out after me because he fell on top of me.
You cracked his ribs and walked away.
He cushioned me. And I, but Anyway, so yeah, and it was raining and hailing and lightning and
I mean, maybe there could have been someone behind you, so maybe it wasn't you that cracked his ribs.
Oh,
maybe
no, it was me. It was me because I know I.
Oh
landed.
No, I heard the crack. I heard the crack as I landed. I don't know what happened. I just started crack. I knew I cracked his ribs.
I was like, get me off this thing. You know, I wasn't waiting for anybody. And it wasn't orderly. You know, they tell you this nice light is going to come on and lead you out of the plane.
No, I mean, look
at that plane. There was no light. There was no nothing. And it was raining and hailing and lightning. And
it's like when we had our auto accident. And I did see bright lights, but those were the headlights of the fucking SUV that hit us head on. It's just like,
yeah. So that was my plane crash. And, yeah, I still fly.
Kathy Marshall has a point. He cushioned me. That's why they didn't interview you. It's just like, I don't know. I fell out of a plane. And I cracked some dude's rib, but you know, he cushioned me.
It was a traumatic experience. I was actually set to fly like a month later, probably not even a month, probably just 2 or 3 weeks later to go see my grandparents. And, I still wanted to go on the trip, and American upgraded me to first class and had a therapist fly with me.
Oh, nice.
So that was nice. And then,
a hot therapist or would he look like Taylor?
It was a woman. It was a woman.
Did she look like Taylor the Latte Boy?
No, I don't remember. I don't actually remember, but I don't think she looked like Taylor, but, they did. The other thing that was nice is they had these people come around to us, all of us who were involved in the crash, and because we lost our luggage. And so we had people that caseworkers that were assigned to us, and they came to my house and they took me shopping.
Oh,
and they're just like, oh, what did you have? And I'm like, well, I had a camera, but it was not this good. And they're like, oh, no, buy the expensive one. That's fine. You know, get this.
They were basically like, please don't sue us. Please don't sue us. Right, please don't sue us.
So they took me on a shopping trip and like replaced everything that I had lost and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And then and they sent us a check immediately for $25,000.
Did they ever at any point while they were shopping through things going like, remember, didn't you have a Rolex on? Like, were they
basically, they were, I felt bad. I didn't want to buy anything that I didn't have, but they were trying to get me to spend money basically.
Yes.
And we did sue them. I mean, so I was on a choir trip, and so we did a group suit.
Yeah.
The entire choir. The thing was the pilot, the whole crew had been working for like 14 hours, which was technically against the rules. And so there was some, and there was actual mistakes that happened.
So you were able to sue the airline, not just the
pilot. The pilot died. The co-pilot lived.
Oh, wow.
But the pilot was sitting, you know, you see the side that basically got crushed in first class. If I had been in first class on that other side, I would be dead.
Right.
Like 11 people died. So, but yeah, we sued them and got some money. And of course, like a year later, I got like, I think all in all, I got, I don't know, $175,000, $180,000.
Right. And I remember you were super upset because someone who burned their arm got like $1 million or something.
It was 11. This other girl, her neck got burned.
Yeah.
Like really bad. I mean, her neck and her arms. And when I saw her, she had skin like dripping off her arms. This is how bad she was burned. It was gross. It was the grossest thing I've seen.
But she got how much?
And I was driving. I had switched colleges at this point, and I was driving between Ole Miss and Memphis. And I was listening to talk radio, and they come on and they say, Kristen Maddox, and this was like a year later. And they're like, Kristen Maddox from the blah, blah, blah air crash was just awarded $11 million. I almost ran off the road. I was like,
why didn't I burn my neck? Kathy Marshall is pointing out, it's like, so after the first class of your plane was destroyed, your next flight, they put you in first class.
Yeah, like, oh, right,
were,
yeah.
Were they trying to kill you, or were they just like...
On the other side, though.
It would be a shame if your testimony were to go into the grave and we weren't to hear from you. I can honestly believe that at some point there is some spreadsheet at these large corporations where those kind of scenarios exist. Like, okay, 11 people died and we have to pay out, you know, another $60 million for the remaining passengers. But what if 30 of them died? Like, would, are we paying out more for the deaths? Are we paying out more for the live? Like, there's some bean counter. There's some bean counter somewhere that has run those numbers to go like, well, they would have been better off if they had just flooded the cabin with argon or something to kill the rest of the passengers, because they would have paid 42% less in payouts shit like that.
99.
The question that you're answering there is from the chat room, Andy Scott asking, what year, Adam Burns?
I believe it was June 1st, 1999.
So 13
Might
years.
Have been July.
13 years after the Challenger.
Anderson Cooper did not, as far as I know. It was, yeah, there's a Wikipedia article if you want to read about it. Like, I can put that link in the chat room.
The funny thing about this Disney Genie Plus that they, if you look out on the internet, all the Disney fans are like bitching about it. Like the Disney Twitter is bitching about how horrible it is. And like, people say the stupidest fucking things, because they're like, if Walt Disney knew that they were charging for individual rides, he would be spitting in his grave. He never wanted that to be what was going to happen, because they're equating like having to pay for fast passes as, you know, pay to ride, which is bullshit, right? But on top of that, Disney, when Disney opened, when Walt Disney was alive, it was you literally paid for every ride. You used a ticket to ride on every single ride. There was no flat price thing, whatever. It's like admission to the park was like $4 because you had to pay for every single ride that you were going to ride. So it's like, what do you mean he would be spinning in his grave? That was his whole business model. Disney didn't go to a fixed price until like 20 years after Disney died. So it's just like, this is all bullshit that you would even think that. It's like so stupid. It's like the people that go, oh, they're ruining Epcot by putting IP in it. Like, Walt didn't like IP in his parks. I'm like, what are you? Disneyland was basically to promote his movies, right? Disneyland opened with Snow White Castle before Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs came out, in order to like hype up the movie. It's just like, he had IP all over the goddamn park. That was his thing, right? Peter Pan's Flight, Snow White's Scary Adventure, Pinocchio's Amazing Journey, Storybook Land. Like, these were all like based off of Disney cartoons. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was based off of Wind in the Willows. I'm so sorry. I'll just shut up. Oh, Auntie Scott has said wrong, Daniel. I don't know what he was referring. You're going to have to be more specific than that, because I am just wrong everything. About a lot of things, but I don't know. It's like wrong. It's like, who are you? What was the name of that guy on PBS that had, it was the oh shit. That's the train. It's the 2 a.m. train.
I didn't realize they have a diagram of the plane and how serious the injuries were for each person that was sitting in there.
McLear, thank you. The McLear News Hour was just like, wrong! You just shouted out. So were you in clearly you weren't in the expensive area.
No, I wasn't in first class. I want to say I was in row 14, but I clearly remember being in front of the fuselage separation, which would be row 11.
Yeah.
But I thought I was in row 14. I don't remember walking to the, I remember literally just standing up on the seat.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Out.
I feel like in a lot of those situations, you don't actually remember a lot of details.
I probably don't.
Because you were in a flight mode. You were in a, oh fuck, I've got to get that out.
I was like, get out.
Yes.
I do remember thinking Die Hard. It's like a Die Hard movie. I've got to get out. It's going to blow up.
I remember the accident when it happened. and the, you know, the car hit, like the SUV slammed into us, and there was no time. Like, it was just immediate. It was just like, oh, fuck. And it's like, you didn't even get the whole word fuck out before the impact happened. And then my next memory is my ears are ringing. It's really white. Like, is real, you know what I'm saying? Like, white and smoky everywhere because the airbags had gone off and deflated. So it was like there was just all this aerosol, this white aerosol up in the air. So it was hard. As you breathed, it hurt. You know what I'm saying? It was like you were breathing in alcohol kind of a thing. And I remember like that. And I heard Zach screaming. And that was, so I don't actually remember the whole impact and everything like that. You know, all, I just remember that. And I remember I had to kick my door open in order to get us out of the car. And that was like all I remember. But I can imagine a plane crash. Like, you're not going to remember a lot of that stuff. You're just going to remember just like being on autopilot, like just trying to get out of the plane and everything. So the fact that you don't remember what row you were on, I wouldn't let that worry you.
Yeah. I always thought 14, but I'm not sure. Anyway,
you could have been on 14 because you just would have been on the other side of the fissure. And the thing is that you may be remembering climbing out of the plane, and then in your mind you oriented it as if you were on the other side of the plane.
Yeah, well, I definitely know what side I was on because that other side got
right
sheared off.
And right, but what I'm saying is you could have been on the co-pilot side on the other side of the fissure.
Yeah,
and climbed out and just had a memory of climbing the other way. So yeah,
we definitely climbed up on the seat. I remember that. Yeah. But anyway,
and then you broke the guy's ribs.
I did. So Auntie Scott's asking, how were the flight attendants? No clue. There was no flight attendant presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other than that, Adam, how was the food? It's like
there was. Yeah. Oh, I thought he meant after.
No, he did. Like, no, he was probably asking like during the emergency. But it sounds like you guys didn't know there was an emergency. Like, you landed and then there was no time to like going, oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to crash, whatever. It was more of a, oh shit, we can't stop. There, no one's making an announcement.
Yeah, no, there were no announcements. There was nothing. Like the last thing we heard was, we have to circle around. And that was the last thing we heard on the speaker.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a brace for impact or anything. I mean,
well, they didn't know, right? They landed fine. It was just the brakes failed to work. They couldn't slow down.
They didn't activate it. It was error. Yeah.
Why they couldn't throw the engines in the reverse? We'll never know, Adam. We'll never know.
They did figure it out. They didn't activate the wing flaps, which was the problem. The wing flaps have to be activated, and the co-pilot said he thought the pilot had done it, and he didn't do it. And
I feel like
because the wing flaps were not activated, they couldn't. The wheels on the plane are not. The brakes are not meant to stop the plane on the wheels, and they have to have the wing flaps. If you ever sit by the wing, you'll notice when you go to stop, the wing flaps come up to make the plane less aerodynamic, so you actually slow down. And they have to be activated in advance, apparently, or at least they did on that plane. And they were not. It was pilot error.
So. Well, there you go. Pilot error.
All right. I have to go to bed.
Yes, I know you have to go to bed. Say goodnight to the chat room. Good night, chat room.
Good night, chat room.
We appreciate you. And have a good night. All right. We're off of...